May the Lord help us to commence our services today by singing together hymn 454. Thy presence, gracious God, afford, prepare us to receive thy word. Now let thy voice engage our ear, and faith be mixed with what we hear. Thus, Lord, thy waiting servants bless, and crown thy gospel with success. 454.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, From Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, wherefore all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated, that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Let us pray. Almighty, most holy, ever blessed, ever merciful, ever gracious, wise Lord God, Almighty Father, Son, Holy Ghost, we would bow before thee in reverence at this morning hour of worship, as we meet in this unknown way before, online in our own homes. O Lord, we desire that same grace that changes not to thy blessed people. O Lord, thus we come pleading personally in our hearts, confessing all our many sins, pleading the grace that is with God. Oh, the glory of that grace found in the only begotten of the Father, who is one with the Father. Oh, we seek that grace now in worship and in our lives and in our pathway and upon our heads and over reigning in our never dying souls. Oh, that glorious, matchless grace of everlasting love, chosen of God, to be brought to be an heir with the Son, an heir with the Son. Oh, what grace, unspeakable grace, to inherit glory. Oh, we would humble ourselves, how we need purification, how we need cleansing, how we need the Holy Ghost within us continually. Save us from our own understanding in religion. O Lord, save us from that which is of nature, just pure intellect. May we not know about God, but may we serve thee, love thee, follow thee with rejoicing, in newness of mind and heart, with a prospect set before us. Keep our eyes ever fixed to where thou art in glory, not with the natural eye, but the heart of faith, the eye of faith, the ears of faith, the breathings of faith, upon to where thou art. So we come this morning, confessing our sins, but pleading, oh, with living faith, that gift of God, pleading that precious sin atoning blood, the blood of the Lamb of God, the blood of Jesus, the dying grace, O Lord, the dying love, the sacrifice, the giving of his life as a ransom for many. Come pleading that tremendous grace before the throne that is with thee, great God of heaven. Didst thou not make known thy voice? This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. May our hearts continually be directed every hour of our life, every day, constantly be directed up to thee. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. May we come this day to hear from thee. Lord, we ask humbly, do not deserve, open our eyes to see exactly where we are. We do not deserve the least of thy mercies. But oh, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He came unto his own received him not. But Lord, full of truth and grace, John saw him, full of truth and grace. Lord, filling over, flowing forth, exhaustless supply, truth and grace. Help us now to worship in all our need, personal need, pathway need, soul need, eternal need, the need of thy love, the need of thy embrace, the need of humbling. Have we not been reading concerning patience and concerning humility, and how we need these humble graces so wrought out in the Son of God, who humbled himself, O Lord, and patiently endured the cross? So do give us that grace. We come as sinners. Thou art the righteous one. The righteous one suffered for us. May we be humble. May we make our petitions unto God. Oh, we do us then thy blessing at this time. remember the dear friends at Swavesey, who, Lord, do supply all their need. May thy presence be in the midst. We believe it is, but we would not take it for granted. May thy presence be in the midst. May thy word go forth and be glorified and prosper. Bless the dear friends, the church, the congregation. Dear friends, the deacons bearing office, uphold them, help them in their burdens, cares, responsibilities, and labours. Bless thy servants that come with thus saith the Lord. Oh, do grant them thy blessing. Lord, still even at this time, do remember each member of the church and the congregation. Lord, those that are getting older, we pray for them. Think of thy people through the earth, those in senior years. O Lord, do shine, do visit them, prepare them for Jordan. It is a reality. May it be so. Remember those in middle days, and all the heat and burden of business and care, responsibility. Draw them to thy footstool, to thy wounded side, into thy word. Lord, remember all in affliction, pain, suffering, especially at this time. We think of friends, thy dear people, suffering with this a terrible virus. We thank thee where there have been healings and pray for it still. Preserve thy dear people at this time. Lord, there are various other ailments. Those facing medical appointments, those appointments that are needed are deferred a number. O Lord, exercise the reality of trust, of faith, to believe in thee. Wait on thee still. Grant healing mercies. Lord, thou art able to maintain our bodies and our lives below, or that we might approach thee, that we might worship thee, we may believe thee increasingly, increase our faith. Lord, remember the young people going forth in life and the Sunday school, and undertake for them at this time. We've omitted to inquire how the matter is with the Sunday school. It is done online in many places. Do bless thy word to our young people still. May thy word follow them. Bless those in school days. Keep them in thy fear when they return to school eventually. Bless those under homeschooling. Bless thy word. May thy word follow young people. O Lord, those that are going forth in life, in business, study, guide them, direct them, bless them, and open thine hand and provide for them. But call them by thy grace. Bring souls to thee. Bless the young friends. Open thy hand and reveal, great God of heaven, thy Son in them. May it be pleased thee to do so. Lord, remember those widows and widowers plough a lonely furrow, those in distress, those in bereavement, those in loss and mourning. Oh, do comfort all that mourn, those with a special case and need. We humbly pray for each. Remember Zion at this time. Bless thy servants on the walls of Zion, preaching from home for the most part. O Lord, will bless thy word and those unable at different points, unable to preach, oh, do bless thy word. O return in power to us as a group of churches. O remember those recently gone forth. Strengthen, encourage them, be with them, bless them. Those who will never preach again in senior years, oh, they're not precious to them. Lord, remember those who are afflicted, and we thank thee where they have raised up some. Raise up still. Remember the editors of our denominational magazines, secretaries of our charitable societies. Bless them in their labours. Lord, remember thy one church, thy spiritual Israel in this land and through the earth. The missionaries, where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Many in deprivation, famine, affliction, war, persecution, genocide, make ways of escape, especially at this time of this pandemic. O Lord, many languishing without the provisions that we have in the West, through the earth. Lord, have mercy on this earth, and have mercy on those who know thee, who fear thy name. May many be turning to call upon God at this solemn time of judgment in the earth. Surely we live in the last times, but may our eyes be up to thee. May we be looking as we read, looking unto Jesus. Remember us in the nation, Lord. Have mercy on England at this solemn time, these British Islands. O Lord, we pray for us as a country. Restore our Prime Minister. Raise up deliverers in the land, leaders of integrity, those who fear thy name in Parliament. Order the councils of state. Undertake for the government in the steps they should take at this time. Lord, reign. Lord, give wisdom. Come. Bless our Queen. Thank you for stability. Undertake from the throne when she's no more. O Lord, have mercy on us. Hear the cries of the remnant who do sigh to thee. Raise up deliverers in Zion. Go forth to blow the trumpet out of Zion. Lord, declare the whole counsel of God as in former years, under the power of the Holy Ghost. O, do send forth thy servant in this land, and turn us unto thee. But, O Lord, have mercy on us. We have sinned. We have sinned. What can we expect? Have mercy on thy people. Have mercy on this island. Have mercy on Zion. We thank thee for thy mercies, Lord. Thy goodness, thou art worthy of our praise. We thank thee, Lord, for the provisions of the gospel. We thank thee for thy personal preservation, thy watchfulness, thy care, answers to prayer, helps by the way. But Lord, those spiritual mercies, oh, the glory of thy word, may thy word be in us, a well of water springing up unto eternal life. O Lord, may we be living upon the bread of heaven. Is in thy word, make it manna. Be blessed with the throne of grace. May we worship the King there. May we become confessing hourly unto thee. And may we hear from thee, from that blessed throne of mercy. O Lord, do bless us out of Zion. We thank thee for thy suffering, thy dying, precious, precious suffering. The glory of thy resurrection, because I live, ye shall live also. May we be living in thee and upon thee, now exalting in heaven, the glory of thy resurrection, the glory of thy ascension, the wonders of thy appearing in heaven for us. Help us to be worshipping thee now, in glory above, in heart and in truth. We do thank thee for these tremendous, unspeakable mercies of the gospel. We're reaching our hearts and our lives. We would praise thee. Now, Lord, what wait we for? Our hope is in thee. Bless the reading of the hymns, O Lord, and the singing of thy praise. Holy Ghost, be due, we pray at this time in our hearts. Bring forth the kingdom of heaven unto us, and bless us out of heaven above. Holy Heavenly Father, we plead the name of thine only begotten Son for thy honour and glory before thy face, before thy throne, and ask all things in his name and for his sake. Lord Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, oh, we pray thee that come, come, we plead thy name before the throne. Come, come now, come now. Come into our hearts, our lives, our pathway. Come wash, come cleanse, come bless. Oh, come, bless thy word. Come, Lord Jesus, come, we plead and ask in thy worthy name and for thy sake. Amen.
May we continue by singing hymn number 14. Begin my tongue some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing, the mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. Hymn number 14.
Yeah.
complete dependence upon Almighty God for all his blessing and help, I would draw your attention to the chapter we read, Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And the word goes on, for our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In this chapter, which follows the account of the patriarchs living by faith in olden time, Paul now takes up that exhortation to the Hebrew believers, the Jews in Jerusalem, and those scattered that knew the old dispensation, to patience and godliness and faith, looking unto the Lord and enduring the difficulties and trials, and especially he mentions great detail the chastening of the Lord, which is in love, and brings forth also toward the end of the chapter the glory of Christ's kingdom, the removing of those things that were before their eyes and by their own soul experience being removed, new heaven and so forth, speaking of particularly the grace and the voice of God. And he speaks concerning the old dispensation of the tabernacle and temple worship being removed, and signifying the removing of those things that are shaken, which were being shaken and being removed in Jerusalem and from the land of Judea until this last century, and now not yet, of course, restored, even in the old way, there being no temple and so forth, but being prepared, we hope and trust, for the bringing in the Jews again into the light of the gospel. But we have to leave those things. He speaks of those things which cannot be shaken may remain. He is clearly speaking of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. I will just bring forth momentarily here concerning what the prophet Daniel spoke of, or what was revealed to him, really, what was given Daniel when he saw the vision of the beasts and so forth. And he spoke, I saw in the night visions, behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. When Nebuchadnezzar at the beginning of the prophecy had his dream of those glorious kingdoms, the head and the shoulders of gold and the body of silver and the middle parts of brass and the legs of iron and the feet of the mixture of earthly clay and iron. At the end of that, now we leave the full interpretation of that. It does not concern us at this time. We believe we're in the kingdom of clay and iron defeat. But there was a stone taken out of the mountain, cut out with hands, that struck the image that was in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, as it is on earth, of course. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, but it brake in the pieces the iron and the brass, the clay and the silver and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. The dream is certain. Interpretation thereof is sure, and so forth. Well, dear friends, this is all very well. This can feed a natural mind, an inquiring mind, and even a religious mind. But grace, wherefore we receiving a kingdom? We receiving. How do you know you received it? What think ye of Christ? We receiving a kingdom. The dear disciples of Jesus had received that kingdom. It was beginning. And he said to the disciples when they came to him, he demanded of the Pharisees demanded, when the kingdom of God should come in front of the disciples. And he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation outwardly by outward signs. Neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Another understanding is in the midst of you, in the midst of your life, your heart, your affections, among your thoughts. The kingdom of God is within you. What a mercy, grace, led to Christ. Are you led to Christ? There's the King. Friend, there's the King of Heaven. He sent his Son, the Prince of Peace, the heir of glory, the King in Zion, to inherit God's chosen, to be their head and their King. These are glorious truths, but it's heaven within you. Paul, right into the Colossians, speaks wonderfully concerning Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's a wonderful truth. Christ in you, the hope of glory, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now there is an opening. There is an opening. And the witnesses within our heart, the Holy Ghost within our heart, Could you say with the blessed psalmist and the Song of Loves, my heart, has your heart this morning been inditing a good matter? My heart is inditing a good matter, an amazing matter, a wonderful matter. I speak of the things which I have made, touching the King, touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. When he speaks of his glory, can you say from your heart, thou art fairer than the children of men? What a glory! Is he fairer to you than is he the chiefest among 10,000? The altogether lovely, you received a kingdom, friend. You've received a kingdom that shall never be removed. Never, never. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Perhaps you cannot speak much, but is he to you fairer than the children of men, or the children of men? Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Grace was poured into his lips. God blessed him forever and his people that he chose in him. When God the Father blessed Christ, he blessed the church. He blessed the inheritance. He blessed the seed. Those appointed were heirs of glory. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Think of the poor disciples. Think of doubting Thomas. Think of timid Thomas. You know, think of Philip asking those questions. You know, show us the Father. Christ wasn't, he didn't see the fullness of Christ. Yet Christ was going to be everything to him and was by and by. But Jesus loved Philip. And we think of Peter. And we think of all the dear saints in tribulation. Those that laid down their lives for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Fairer than the children of men. Are you that poor one in Zion, the needy? Are you that little one in Zion, the lamb? He carries them in his bosom. Friend, he's carrying you at the moment. Oh, rest in him. What he's done, what he's made known. He says only one word, one half a word. Did it bring you to Christ? Did it bring you to see Jesus, to know Jesus? You know, King's daughters were among thy honourable women. And upon thy right hand is stand the Queen in gold of Ophir. The Queen, brought to the marriage supper of the Lamb, which will be in glory, but brought now to have foretastes. So shall the King. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Does the word of God speak to someone? Hearken, O daughter, and consider, incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Yes, it's got to be left behind, friend. We are poor creatures of a day. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the King greatly desire thy beauty. Praise thy Lord and worship thou him. Friend, let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. This is the beauty of grace. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus bestowed and given to us. A new heart will I give you. New affections. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with thee. Are you worshipping him, the King in his beauty? Thou art my King, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Well, a kingdom which cannot be moved. What a mercy. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, he taught us to pray after this manner. And hallowed be thy name, holy, separate be thy name. Is that name of God holy in your heart? Does it influence you? Do you stand in reverence? Do you stand in awe? You've got a kingdom, friend. You're in a kingdom. and never to be removed. You've received it by grace. Tremendous grace. No merit here. Didn't deserve it, did we? Well, says Jesus, this is to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, we can all repeat that as I used to at school. Didn't mean anything, but thy will be done. Oh, with gladness can you pray that? Isn't it best for us? But what does he say before that? Thy kingdom come into my life, into my heart. Then I know thy will is best. That's when you know the Lord's will is best. When his kingdom shines within, when Christ is made precious. Oh, I know the prophet speaks of to see the king in his beauty and the land that is afar off. Is your heart ravaged with love? Thy kingdom come. Well, an heir of the kingdom. Or may we not be disobedient children, but may we hear what the Lord will speak. Is he thy king? The king in Zion. Now, a king reigns. This king reigns with pure love, pure wisdom, with a victorious arm over all his subjects. Look at your life. Look at your troubles. Look at your fears. Friend, be looking up. You say, how can I look out of my troubles? How can I get out of them? They weigh me down. What about guilt? What about sin? How can I get out of my guilt? Still looking unto Jesus, as we read. Still looking to the King. Looking up to heaven. Precious blood to plead. Oh, sinner, blood to plead. You've got blood to plead. You've got a ransom death to plead. A ransoming death to plead. Humbly, simply, pleading for faith, pleading for that kingdom. Can you say, what can you speak of Christ? I'll go back to that. Is he the altogether lovely? Is he the altogether lovely? Is he fairer than the men, than the sons of men? Do you know grace has been poured into his lips? Has it been poured out? Was poured in to pour out. Has it reached your heart? A word of encouragement. Well, you must have received a kingdom. I'll tell you why I say that. Because God's word does not return unto him void. It shall accomplish that which he pleases and shall prosper in the thing whereunto he sent it. Now, has his word come to you with power and authority? And you know it has. Perhaps only once, and it's long ago. Now you're languishing, perhaps your cry is, be not silent unto me, O God, be not silent unto me, lest I become like unto them that go down into the pit. Friend, if this Lord Jesus is your King, and you love him, you want to hear from him, love longs for communication, but it's not returned to him void, and it won't. It will prosper. Friend, you're in that kingdom. But he taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And this is the truth. And this is another encouragement. This is another reality. As we pray, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Can you feel that? Thine is the kingdom. Jesus, the Father. Jesus taught us to pray, the Father, for thine is the kingdom, Father. Thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory. You're going to say to me, are there two kings? No, friend. There's only one King, God, the Godhead, is king in Zion. But there, God will ever be king, but he's given all things into his son's hand. Given all things into his son's hand. And he speaks in another place, the Lord Jesus, on this line. If I just quickly turn to it. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. Christ is inheriting the kingdom, is the church, his chosen. His chosen. I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel, and so forth. He's appointed unto you a kingdom. And prior to that, he says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Are you tempted? So was he. Deserted, says Joseph Hart. He was too. One with him, following him. Appoint, as his father appointed unto him a kingdom to inherit all that the father gave him. Can you say, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory? Christ, full of grace and truth, the power. You know, the power of the Holy Ghost is the power of grace in us, working, and Christ has sent him, or the Father has sent him, proceeding through the Son. But Jesus promised to give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give the Holy Ghost unto them which ask him? Whenever we speak of the Trinity, do not try and divide it into separate parts. There are three glorious distinctions in the Trinity. Three glorious distinctions of one Godhead. There is a Father, there is a Son, there is a personality of the Father, there is a personality of the Son, there is a personality of the Holy Ghost. But they are not three persons. They are one person, one Godhead. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Well, here the apostle writes, does he not? Wherefore? And what a mercy we have. Wherefore? Friend, we cannot presume here. Is this your exercise? Are you a praying soul? Are you a soul needing Christ? Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom within you, the fear of God within you. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, cannot be moved. One more thought here, dear John. Well, a few more thoughts here, in fact. What does the prophet Isaiah say? Unto us a child is born. For unto us a child is born. Unto us. Have you received him? Is he your only hope? And that unto us a son is given. A son, an heir. The government shall be upon his shoulder. What's your burden? Are you trying to carry your cares? Are you trying to carry your sorrows? Are you trying to deal with matters? Look, the government is upon his shoulders, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, committing your way unto him. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. This is a title of Christ, you know. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is his name, a son, an heir. It brings forth the glory of the Godhead. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in flesh, and so forth. Wonderful. Oh, cast your care upon him. Stop trying to manage your life. Fall down before him. Worship him. This is by faith and trust at all times. How do you do it? You'll find you'll be doing it in necessity. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out. See, his trust and pouring out your heart before him and discovering he's a refuge. God is a refuge for us. Pour it out. Pour out your sorrow, your care. Trust him. Rest on him. Wait patiently for him. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. God will perform this in you. Isaiah spoke long after David, but he speaks of the throne of David as that enduring kingdom. This is the wonders of God manifest in flesh. And dear Peter writes, does he not? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. I don't like racing over this, but time is limited. Perhaps a thought for you to ponder. A chosen generation. Why was I made to hear his voice and enter while there's room, while trillions make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? What does the hymn writer say there? Isaac Watts. 'Twas the same love that spread the feast, that sweetly forced us in, else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. You know, we think of that feast, gospel feast that Jesus appointed. Here every bowel of our God with soft compassion rolls. Here peace and pardon, love and blood is food for dying souls. While all our hearts, all our songs join to admire the feast, each of us cry with thankful tongues, Lord, why was I a guest? Why was I made to hear his voice and enter while there's room? When thousands or trillions make a wretched choice and rather starve than come, 'twas the same love that spread the feast, that sweetly forced us in. And he's drawing you, friend, drawing you heavenward, else we had still refused to taste and perished in our sin. You know, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, peculiar people. This is Christ's kingdom. This is Peter here, it brings forth the nature and description of Christ's kingdom, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have you seen some of your sins and you can't face them? But have you heard the joyful sound? Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. You will be praising him, friend. You will be going to praising him, drawn by his love. Friend, a fountain opened for your sin and uncleanness. Friend, it's open for your sin and my sin. Well, one other thought on this kingdom, we must move on. You know, we shall see it. I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in his righteousness, he is the judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. Many crowns. A sweet mystery, a blessed one. Friend, are you placing crowns on his head? Are you honoring him? A crown is an honor, you know. It's a headship. It shows forth authority and the head of all things, a headstone, as it were. Friend, can you crown him, the King of Love? Think of his mercy towards you personally. Put a crown of mercy on his head. A crown of thanksgiving, a crown of righteousness he wears. He reigns as king in righteousness. Friend, that righteousness would not mean anything were it not given to the church. It's given to you, sinner, freely given, that you might enter heaven. You're never going to enter in with your righteousness. You haven't got any. Have you tasted to see the righteousness of Jesus? Oh, what other crowns does he wear? Faithfulness and truth. Faithful that promised. The opening or the middle hymn speaks, I think, of the promises. What does it say, the middle hymn we sung? Let's get this right. The voice that rolls the stars along speaks all the promises. His faithfulness. Christ has fulfilled all things, and he is fulfilling all things now. And he fulfilled all things and bring us to glory. All the many crowns of love and grace and righteousness and peace, O Lord, and victory. Victory, thanks be unto God. I'll come to that in a moment. It giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. This, of course, speaks at the end of time. And when John saw him, he fell at his feet as dead in the Revelation chapter 1. And laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Fear not. I am the first and the last. Fear not this morning, friend. I am the first. I began, the author and finisher of our faith, the beginning and the ending. I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, what grace, what mercy. Let us have grace. The margin is hold fast grace. Hold it fast, friend. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Now there is this serving him. Serving him. How can I serve him? Well, I want to point something out to you. Did not Jesus delight to do his Father's will? Did he not serve his Father all his days on earth in his humiliation? Was he not obedient unto death? Did he not take upon him the form of a servant? I just turn to that in the Philippians. It's a blessed truth. And this is the exhortation that Paul gives. Let this mind be in you, which was in also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery but to be equal with God, and made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. And Jesus, before he suffered, we read this in Luke, and there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. What a warning to us in Zion, to his servants trying to lord it over God's heritage and interfering, and deacons trying to lord it over the church, and church members trying to be something and showing off in prayer. What warnings. The dear disciples were shouldering each other to who was the greatest among them. And if they in the presence of Jesus did, what about some of us below? Let it be a warning. But what an example. Look at the grace of God here. Look at Christ's grace. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. Let it exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. And he asked them a question to these his dear disciples. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? Well, that is true, isn't it? If you go for a meal somewhere, to a restaurant or whatever, you're served, you're waiting. And we think of feasts of honor and so forth before dignitaries and so forth. What did Jesus say? But I among you as he that serveth. When you go for a meal next time, if that's if you do, or to some reception, a wedding reception, and it's a sit-down meal, ponder those that are serving. Ponder it. Think of Christ's humility. I am among you that serveth. And ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me. And so forth, which I quoted earlier. How can I serve him who served his Father so well? Faithful unto death, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. See him in humility, nevertheless, not my will, serving him, loving his Father, one with his Father in his divine nature, but in sorrow, in his humanity, in his awful sufferings, for us, for our sins, may it humble us, may it humble us. How can we serve him then? Well, what do we read in Corinthians? So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put in all immortality, then shall be brought to pass that which is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, us the victory, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul takes up that enduring that they so need, the Corinthians, that endurance. Therefore, my beloved brethren, maybe speaking to us here, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor. Let us have grace let us hold fast grace, whereby we may serve God. This is the entrance into this. His victory. His victory is our victory. Thanks be unto him. Oh, with gladness, with newness of mind, we serve him. Love him, friend. Serve him in love. Wait on him. A servant waits on him. Now, you are waiting this morning, I hope, in prayer. If not all of you, some of you. And you'll be waiting this evening. And you'll be waiting to, what are you? Now, Lord, says David, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. My hope is in thee. Friend, we're waiting for him. Blessed is the man that waiteth for him. Is it not true? They shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Now, servants also run according to their master's instruction. What does the king say? Follow me. Not run, follow. The kingdom of heaven, we're following Christ to glory. Friend, we can't run to heaven. There's no, as if, but I know Paul speaks, run in a race that we may obtain and so forth. And we read in a chapter, let us run with patience the race. But notice, set before us. He set it looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. He set it. In other words, it's following him. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let us run with patience the gospel race that is set before us, which is just simply follow me, waiting for the kingdom of heaven, waiting for that call above. This is how we will serve him. Oh, bear in mind, dear friend, Jesus served him. Now we serve him in praise, thankfulness, love, hope. May we know that joy and that peace in. This is not a hard servitude, is it? This is not, Mr. John H. Gosden at Mason when I was a boy used to say, God is no hard taskmaster. He isn't. He's full of pity, full of power. His loving kindness, tender are his mercies, friend. I believe some of you approve this. Well, I have. Let us have grace. Grace, that kingdom within. Kingdom within. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The kingdom of God is within you. Within you. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why reverence? My times are in thy hand. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to be born, a time to die. You know, a time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to speak. And a time to keep silence, reverence, for our God is a consuming fire. Godly fear, sovereign over my life. Dear friend, commit thy way unto the Lord. Now don't go running ahead. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. Elisha sat still in the house. He was unmoved. He was unmoved by the feet of the wicked king. In a time of crisis, when they wanted to take off his head, he sat still. Be still and know that I am God. Well, godly fear. Not legal fear. Not horrible fear. Not horrors. Friend, the King of Peace. The King in Zion. May we serve him with newness of mind. Thankfulness. Praise. Well, you will if you receive this kingdom. What a miracle. What a miracle. Me of all people. Look at my filthiness. Look at my wretchedness. Look at my wicked heart. Look at my pride. Look at my carnality. Look at my heart wanderings. Look at my spirit. Look at my muddle. Look at my deadness. He revives you. You're not your own. You've received the kingdom. Peter denied. When Jesus was dying, there was a man, a wretch, a hard man, a nasty man, didn't care about his victims who he'd robbed and hurt. Simply, humbly pleaded, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What a plea. Friend, he was dying, brought to judgment for his sin. We justly suffer. This man hath done nothing amiss. Do you know Jesus to be the righteous one, the pure one, and to be, do you know about his kingdom? It was open to this poor man. And you, poor sinner, open to your heart the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. What was this answer? Not, yes, I will, or no, God forbid I should begin to even think of other things. Glorious answer. This is what he needed to hear. Jesus knew what he needed as a dying man. He knew. He didn't just say, I remember thee, although that was the meaning. He said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. This day. Jesus knows exactly what you want to need. A word in season, fitly spoken. To him that is weary. Yes. Well, wherefore, dear friends? Are you in the wherefore? We're in the wherefore. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. What grace, what wonders, what mercy, what love. Contrast that to the changing scenes of time. What you're passing through, the various states you're in, got a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. Hold fast grace that is an exercise of soul. Hold fast grace. Have grace whereby we may serve God like his father did, following him. I mean, like his son did, I should say. Oh, what a fool. Like his son said, let us have grace whereby we may serve God as Jesus did, as his son did, acceptably, in all confession of sin, pleading the blood that does for sin atone, watching and waiting for him at his gates, acceptably, pleading the name of Jesus. And as I said earlier, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Jesus said, this is the will of God. This is the work of God, that ye should believe on him whom he has sent. This is serving God acceptably, believing in him, watching for him with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear.
The collections collected during this past week amounted to £475, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Rosier will preach again this evening at 6:30. And on Tuesday evening, as Mr. Tim Barker is unable to preach for us, Mr. Tim Parrish, God willing, will preach at 7:00. And there will be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday at 8:00. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach at 10:30 and 6:30. Let us now close with hymn 1070. Thou friend of friendless sinners hear, and magnify thy grace divine. Pardon a worm that would draw near, that would his heart to thee resign. A worm by self and sin oppressed, that pants to reach thy promised rest. Hymn 1070.
And now may the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion, unction, comfort of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us each, now, forever. Amen.